what's one of the lines? The surest performance of the surest predictor of
how's the new tongue working out? Welcome to the second annual. We can say that now, Elliot, because we did it once. The second annual, where everybody is at in advance of trade deadline. How's that for a snappy title for this podcast?
That's a great title.
Just falls off the tongue. Just rolls off the tongue. We're going
to
go through
fantastic beats and where to find them.
Yes, to find them right here. And here are the beats. 31 beats is what you're going to find here on the podcast. We're going to go through all 31 teams. And this is going to be an easy podcast for me. Essentially, I'm a robot. I just give out the names of the teams and we plug into Elliot Friedman's brain and try to drain his battery by the time it's all done. So we have a lot to get to, so let's get right to it. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. We're going to go division by division. We'll start in the Eastern Conference, and we'll start with the hottest button team in the Atlantic. And we've talked about them every single week. You talk about them Saturday on headlines every week as well. I know we might be dating ourselves considering Matt Duchene is not playing right now, but where's Ottawa at?
So I think that the Matt Duchene stuff centers around Nashville. I think there's some other teams there. I think Columbus has looked at them. I think Calgary's looked at them. We always joke we have no idea what the Islanders are up to, but I think they've looked at them. And one of the things I've been told is that if Montreal thought they could extend them, they would have been in on it too. But I do think this is all about Nashville. The Predators have lusted after Duchene for some time. You know, somebody tweeted at me, oh, just because the guy knows how to play guitar, you assume he wants to play in Nashville.
That's snappy.
You know what? That's probably to some degree true. But I do think that Nashville interests him a great deal. I think the Predators are working to see if they can make this a sign and trade, have an extension as be part of it, and what other moving parts do the Predators have to make around that.
That would make the Duchene trade more expensive for Nashville?
Probably, yes. Or if they make the deal, you make it conditional on, you know, what else do you get if Duchene signs, something like that. There are protections Ottawa can write in on that. One of the things I heard was they have two RFAs this year of consequence. One is Ryan Hartman, the other is Colton Sissons. They have Kevin Fiala, who's had a rough year, but he's coming out of his ELC. You know, assuming those guys aren't part of any deal for Duchene, I think they were looking at how much is it going to cost me to keep all these guys?
Right.
And what does that give me in terms of cap room? And but the other thing is they could be contemplating, do we have to move a body out to pull this off? So I think Nashville's got a couple of balls in the air, and I think a lot of it has to do with Matt Duchene.
We'll get to Preds in a couple of moments.
Yeah.
Actually, a little while from now, not a couple of moments. First fraudulent statement of the podcast. Get used to it. Back to the Ottawa Senators. That's Duchene. What about Stone? What about Dzingel?
So Stone, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, if you would have asked me to pick one who was staying and one who was going, I thought there was a chance it was more likely that Duchene was staying and Stone was going. Because the Stone thing was dead quiet. And I think once they kind of saw that the Duchene was trending in this direction, they took another run at Stone. And I had heard the rumor going around on the weekend, the end of the weekend, was 5 times 10.5. And I believe that that is in the ballpark. Now, someone disputed those specific numbers with me. Mm-hmm. But after I put it in my blog that it was disputed, I had a few people reach out and say it's in that area. That what they're all hearing is it's in that area. I think Ottawa made him a big number at less than max term. And I think what we have to see now, A, the structure. I don't know anything about the structure. And B, does Ottawa go a sixth year maybe? And if Ottawa comes in at 6 times 10, 10.5, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Dzingel, quickly?
I think it depends on Stone.
Further
and CC, I think, comes right down to the deadline.
Further to all that, would there be trade contingencies already in place for all these players, should they not sign me? That would be we're under a week away from trade deadline.
I think Ottawa knows exactly what the market is for Stone.
So right away, Stone says, thanks, but no thanks. Boom, you call up General Manager X and let's do that deal.
I think they'd be pretty close on that.
That's Ottawa. Let's go through the rest of the Atlantic, starting with the top team. That is the Tampa Bay Lightning. We keep hearing right shot D.
Well, I've had people tell me that Tampa Bay won't do anything. I've had them tell me that it may be a right shot D. I've had some people say that, you know, Tampa could pull a whopper out of there. Tampa's one of the toughest teams to get information out of. They're very quiet.
Even with Yzerman gone.
Yes, even with Yzerman gone, they're still very quiet. Breezeball's cut from the same mold. But I do think they've looked at guys like CC McQuaid, guys like that. But I don't expect them to do anything major.
Elliot, the Boston Bruins pulling off one move, yeah. picking up Charlie Coyle from the Minnesota Wild, Ryan Donato, and a fifth going the other way. Thoughts on this from the Boston perspective? Why Coyle?
You know, obviously, he's a local guy. He's a guy they've been interested in for some time. And you know he'll be proud and rejuvenated to wear that jersey, and I think that's always a big thing. The cost wasn't prohibitive. You know, Ryan Donato has a chance to be a good player, but the draft pick is middling at the least. I think there's a lot of other moves the Bruins could make that would cost them more than this. Mm-hmm. Boston's one of the few teams that could trade a Ryan Donato and still not feel that their prospect pool has been devastated.
They're okay.
They could still make another move. Like, I don't look at this as prohibiting them from doing anything else, whether it's Panarin, whether it's Simmons, whether it's Kevin Hayes. I don't think it changes anything. And as we'll talk about when people hear the Minnesota part of this podcast, Charlie Coyle is a guy who can play a lot of different places. He can play yep. center. He can play wing. He can play up and down your lineup. He's versatile. And in the salary cap world, versatility is very important.
David Pastrnak's still injured, so where does Charlie Coyle fit into this lineup right now? Is this assistance for David Krejci, short-term help, and then maybe when Pastrnak comes back, things get more settled?
I think they could do both. Like, he could play third-line center. They've been looking for a center all year, and that's why Coyle's name has kind of come up here and there. So he can play third-line center for them. He can play on the wing, too. And, you know, the other thing, I would also expect them to reunite the big line. You know, now that they've made one addition and maybe another, I've got to think for the playoffs, especially if they go against Toronto, you've got to think they're going to play Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak together. They have tortured the Maple Leafs for years.
That's as much as Maple Leafs fans talk about getting tougher, and this team needs an answer for that first line of Boston Bruins.
If absolutely.
So you mentioned you don't think that Boston is done necessarily.
I don't think so.
But big game hunting or bits and pieces?
No,
I
think they could
moves.
Still go after another forward if they wanted to. A big one.
Panarin?
Why not? Simmons? Hayes? There was a rumor the other day. I don't know where it started, but that they could be going after Mark Stone. Like, trading Ryan Donato is not going to prevent them from going after and getting another big fish if they want to.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
I think I've said this before on the podcast, almost always on Are You Saying Things Too Much? So tell me if I've said this too much. Take the conventional wisdom and assume that Kyle Dubas will do almost the exact opposite. So I think that they are looking for another right shot D. And I think it still could be a bigger one. Like,
but who's, like, that's the thing. Like, you look
he
at
was
the...
in Anaheim.
Okay, so that'd be Brandon Montour.
I got to think it's Montour.
Yeah.
I still think they're watching the Carolina guys.
Brett Pesce's a right shot.
But Carolina, I don't know how they could be making a move considering where they are. They're still right there, even though they lost.
That was a tough loss against the Rangers.
That was a tough loss in the night where both Montreal and Pittsburgh won. But still, I mean, they're right there. You know, there have been some rumblings about them with McQuaid. I think they're looking at another right shot guy.
Jared Spurgeon?
Minnesota. Spurgeon's got term.
We'll get to Minnesota. Well, everyone that we've mentioned, Montour's got some
term.
Yeah, but Pesci's got some term.
But Spurgeon's got a bigger number, and that's the guy that Minnesota really has that could get them something.
Big time.
Yeah.
From the Maple Leafs, we go to the Montreal Canadiens. Huge win on Tuesday night to create a little bit of distance between themselves and the Carolina Hurricanes.
So let's take Mark Bergevin at his word that he's not doing rentals, okay? Because I think that they've had interest in Duchesne in the past. So I would assume that he's not going to be going to Montreal. And like I said, I think Nashville's going all out to try to get him. I think he'll continue to tinker here and there. He's changed up a little bit with his fourth line. The one thing I've kind of heard is if he pulls off a big move, it's going to be somebody that they have control over for a while. Like, for example, if Huberdeau was really available, that's a guy you think Montreal's all in on. And they wouldn't have been the only ones. But I think it's going to be a player like that. Like, we're going to get to Anaheim eventually.
Oh, yeah.
I think Anaheim is the team that could determine a lot of other futures.
You think Ducks could be the kingmaker here? Because some would say Ottawa, others would say Columbus.
Well,
you say maybe Anaheim?
Ottawa's the kingmaker because they got the UFAs. Anaheim, if they wanted to, they could move the guys with term or control.
Right.
And then teams like Montreal are in because they would go after those guys. I think if Bergevin does anything, it's a guy with term.
Buffalo Sabres. We've talked about Jason Pominville before, Nathan Beaulieu. We all know that story as well. Where are the Buffalo Sabres at?
So I have really wavered back and forth on what's going to happen with Jeff Skinner. You know, they're falling out of the race. They're not in a great spot.
Since their winning streak, by the way, I think the record is the worst in the NHL.
Yeah,
and that's how bad it is.
And you can see it's getting tense there. So Jason Botterill had a big media availability on Wednesday, the day we're taping this, where he said Phil Housley's job is not in jeopardy. Yep. And he said that
all the time is, where are you with Jeff Skinner in the negotiation?
Look, his group and I have obviously continued our dialogue. We haven't done play-by-play in the media just because that's the way we wanted to go about things. Both sides continue to work to try to find a resolution.
You mentioned a lot of...
I believe whether they get Skinner done or not, they'll keep him and sort this all out and keep going for it. I have believed that. I still think that's the more likely outcome. There's something gnawing at me here. Don't you think that if this was so simple, it would be done already?
Done by now. And yes. The number earlier, we talked about this last week, the number we heard early in the season when Jeff Skinner started to rack up the goals was $9 million. And we all kind of did a Don Knotts spit take from Three's Company on it. But then as the season wore on, you said to yourself, well, hang on, goals are expensive and this guy's piling them up and he's found a nice battery with Jack Eichel. Why not $9 million for Jeff Skinner?
I don't think so. Buffalo will go there. I could always be wrong, but I can't see them going to nine. I don't see it.
The name that I wonder about with the Buffalo Sabres is someone that's not even on the roster, and that's Alex Nylander.
We've talked about that. Well, I mean, the other situation now is you got Okpozo, and I've heard it's not as bad as when we've all first heard concussion, you know, people were really worried because of everything he went through.
From the Anthony D'Angelo fight.
Yes, but I've heard it's not as bad as people have made it out to be, which I hope is the case. I mean, we all want him to be okay. But all of a sudden, now you're probably wondering what his future is. That Skinner one, I don't think Buffalo wants to meet his asking price.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he wants to go anywhere. Quietly.
How do you walk away from that?
Yeah, I mean, the guy's got 40 goals.
I know. He's piling it up.
By the way, just on Buffalo,
yep.
They have made it very clear, and they have done it, is that they aren't trading those first rounders for rentals. And they have told other teams that. They've been very honest about that.
And they have three first-round draft picks.
And teams are saying they're not telling you one thing and everybody else something else.
Florida Panthers, could they trade Mike Hoffman?
They could. I think he's been out there. I think they could trade Broussard again. They could trade Riley Sheahan again.
Yep.
I think they got a lot of guys out there. You know, I think they've tried to move Reimer, too, to see what his worth is out there. I think they're clearing the decks. I mean, they beat Buffalo the other night, but it's still, Jeff, it's such an uphill climb. I think they're clearing the decks.
Detroit Red Wings, they have some expiring contracts. Nyquist is a name that's out there. Jimmy Howard is a name that's out there. You've mentioned Nick Jensen before, who's out there. Where are you at on the Wings?
So last year, Ken Holland took everybody down to the deadline. And about half an hour before the deadline, the Carlson deal fell through. And then, you know, Vegas turned and got Tatar from him for a first, a second, and a third. Yeah. And I've been told that's what Ken Holland's going to do. He is going to keep it tight. He's going to wait it down and see who gets desperate and see if he can take advantage of anybody.
Does Vanek get moved again?
No, I don't think so. You know, I heard that that's not going to happen. That it's just, you know, a one-year deal and
become
he's staying
there. Become a tradition,
there.
Though. Yeah.
I don't think he's going there. But, you know, the one thing here is, though, Jeff, somebody's going to get caught holding the bag. Like, when these guys, top guys, all settle, someone, whether it's Philly with Simmons, whether it's Detroit with their guys, whether it's the Rangers with their guys, someone's going to get caught stuck because not all of these rentals are going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of wondering, like, that's what teams like Pittsburgh and San Jose are kind of hoping for, that some of these teams with rentals say, oh, nobody's biting, and we can get in and we can steal a player cheap.
So Monday, 2:45 Eastern?
Yes.
That's when you get your bargains?
That's when you get your...
Everything must go?
Everything must go. And that happens from time to time. And Holland, it serves him well to wait because he made a heck of a trade last year getting futures for Tatar. But somebody at the end of the day is going to get caught. You know, the other one too, in Detroit, I just wonder about a guy like Helm.
Right.
Because centers are always valuable.
Especially centers that can move their feet.
Yes.
And that's what Darren Helm can do.
Yes. Helm and Glenn Danning, centers.
Just as a quick aside before we pause and come back with a chat about the Metro. Boston-San Jose this week. To me, that's a game of the year. That might have been the best game I've seen all season long. Agree?
Yeah, it was a fantastic game. I mean, there was some weirdness that surrounded that. Like, I mean, there was the high stick tying goal. But the best
rolling thing, on the line, same player involved.
The best thing that I really liked about it was when people started realizing that Thornton was three goals out.
Yeah.
It became like a social media moment. Everybody wanted to hear. I think one of the things that made people mad about that call, that high stick call, that goal, was it robbed Thornton's chance to get on to go for an empty netter. Like, I'm serious.
I think
that's why one of the reasons that people were so angry about that call, because they knew Thornton really wasn't going to play in overtime. He doesn't really play 3-on-3. He got a shift. But could you imagine what it would have been like if they threw him on the ice
with an empty net?
With an empty netter for the fourth goal?
Joe, don't pass.
No, shoot it. I would have liked to have seen what he would have done.
And Boston just opens a lane for it. Come on, Joe.
Like, yeah, San Jose, those guys were involved in the setting up John Scott at All-Star. Like, they can choreograph plays with Burns and Pavelski there.
31 Thoughts is brought to you by the next generation GMC Sierra Denali.
Left wing on the Penguin line to Barzal, left circle, right circle, Everly shoots and scores! Jordan Everly has his second of the period! Here is steal by Barzal, he's got a breakaway! Matt Barzal in alone, shoot save, rebound, he scores! Matt Barzal has won it in overtime for the Islanders as they take it 4-3 tonight in New Jersey! Komarov, the right point, Pulock again, going to net, they score! Michael Dalpole deflects it home! Ladd steals it for the Islanders, pokes it by Dowdy, and he's got a shorthanded break! 2-on-0, Ladd with Filppula, Ladd to Filppula, shoots and scores! Shorthanded goal for Val Filppula, his second of the game! Filppula right wing over the Minnesota line to Beauvillier, in a long shoot, and scores! Anthony Beauvillier in the long drought! His first goal in 12 games makes it 1-0 New York. And the Ducks go to work there. Komarov in him a forecheck to try to keep it alive to Dalpole in the right corner. Right point now for Mayfield. Left point Taves. Snapshot deflected. They score! Leo Komarov got a piece of it. And Uncle Leo has made it 3-0 Islanders. It hit the referee. Held in at left point by Pellick. Blast. Big save. Johnson. Rebound. They score! Clutterbuck has his second of the period, and it's 2-0 Islanders!
The dulcet tones of Chris King lead us back into 31 Thoughts, the podcast, Islanders play-by-play voice. Let's talk about the Islanders in advance of the trade deadline. Lou Lamoriello keeps things buttoned down. But can you read tea leaves on the Islanders at all?
That's Lou Lamoriello answering that question.
That's pretty good.
What's one of the lines? The surest predictor of future performance is past performance, right? So if you look at Lou Lamoriello's history, when does he go for it? When he thinks he has a team that's good enough to win. I think they think their team is good enough to win.
Getting healthy, Ladd, Hickey.
Yeah, good goaltending structure. They keep they're in every game. They wait for you to make mistakes. They understand what they're supposed to do. I really think that they will go for it with someone. I think they're in on Duchesne. I think they're definitely in on Panarin. Someone said to me his plan C might be Kovalchuk, although Kovalchuk has control.
Relation there with Lou Lamoriello going
He's
back to New Jersey.
Done it before. I would be surprised if they didn't do something. I would.
It's interesting, too, because if you look at the number of expiring contracts, whether it's Eberle, whether it's Nelson, whether it's Lee, you might look at this team and say, they could be, if they wanted, as bizarre as it may sound, first in the Metropolitan Division, they could sell.
He did a scrum last week where he said that wasn't going to happen, that he was comfortable of keeping all those guys. So why not? I love the fact, too, they're playing their first round in the old barn.
I'm with you. That's fantastic. You've just come back from Washington Capitals practice?
Yeah, that was a tough one. So,
okay, Caps. As we record this, you just came back. So this is Wednesday afternoon. We're recording this podcast. I am saying this at 2:16 Eastern.
So I sit down at the rink at the MasterCard Center where the Leafs practice, and that's where the Capitals are. And I see a couple of their reporters, Chris Cook and Isabel Hershugian. And, you know, they're both really good reporters. And I just happen to check, and I see on their Twitter feeds they've both announced that Jaskin's going on waivers. And then the list comes down at noon, and someone says to me, it's not Jaskin, it's Smith-Pelly. And the toughest thing about that was, so Smith-Pelly's on the ice at the time, and he came off, and I guess he found out about it, and you could tell he was really upset. Like, that was really a tough moment for him. Mm-hmm. And the Capitals had an event where they're giving a ring to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and they had a team lunch, and I was driving out of the parking lot after to come back here to record the podcast. I saw Smith-Pelly out by the bus while I guess a lot of his teammates were inside. I guess he just needed to decompress and think, and it's terrible. I mean, it's a good reminder at this time where we're discussing rumors about what a human thing this is and how difficult these individual decisions are on people. But Todd Reirden just said, like, it was an organizational decision. I'm going to wonder now if teams are going to start saying, okay, this is who's going on waivers today, because obviously the Capitals put it out there about an hour and a half early and somebody made a call, and now we're going to see what they are up to doing. I had heard that they were looking for this year's Michael Kempney. For a while, until Matt Niskanen started playing better, I think they were looking at maybe two defensemen, but Niskanen's getting back to where we all know he can be. That guy, McClellan, he is not afraid to swing big.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he does something even bigger.
How big is this Devontae Smith-Pelly situation? Is this big? Is this a contained fire? What is this?
You know the old Bernie Perron story when the Flyers won the Stanley Cup. What does Fred Shiro tell them? Win today and we walk together forever.
Yep.
One of the other things that happened was he came out of the dressing room and there were about three or four guys standing around him. TJ Oshie was one. I think Michael Kempney was another. And you know, you could tell those guys legitimately wanted to try to make him feel better. Like those guys, they won a Stanley Cup, the first and only one in the 44-year, long and tortured history of the Washington Capitals. Like, that team is, they are gods among those Capitals fans.
Sure.
And all those guys, you could tell they're a tight team. You can tell they all get along really well. And you could see they felt terribly badly for him. So I think internally, it's something they're going to have to manage. I mean, players understand this is a business, but you could tell they were, those guys, they wanted Smith-Pelly to feel okay, and you could tell he was really upset. The Capitals are a mature group. They can handle anything. They've proven it, but nobody likes to see that.
Elliot, just a final thought on the Caps. Could you see them targeting anyone specifically out there?
Well, one of the names we've been hearing is Carl Hagelin. He's one of the guys they've been looking at, and LA has kind of indicated apparently to other teams, I haven't asked them myself, that they're getting close with him, so I wouldn't be surprised if he is that guy.
Tuesday night, the Pittsburgh Penguins did something they haven't done all season long. Mm-hmm. They beat the New Jersey Devils. Where is Jim Rutherford at with the Pens? A little bit of distance now between them and Carolina.
Well, I just think that they're a team that's always going for it, right? Like, as long as Crosby and Malkin are in their prime, they're going for it. A couple weeks ago, I heard they were looking for another forward even after the trade they made with Florida, and then Mata got hurt, so we'll see where that is. But I think they're still trying to add.
Did Pittsburgh find another forward position?
Yeah.
Traditionally, there's three, Elliot. Has Pittsburgh found a fourth?
Maybe they'll go one, 4-1 all the time. They were looking at Zuccarello.
Yep.
He kind of fits with them. I think they'll try and add if they can.
Here we go.
Okay.
Columbus Blue Jackets.
So this is such a difficult situation to read. You know, I think they're ready to throw their hands up and just kill people. How frustrated they are. I don't know what they were hoping for when the agent switched, when Panarin switched from Milstein to Theofanis. Maybe in some way they were hoping it would be better. I don't think it has been. Panarin, aside from his recent episode with the runs, as we now know, that he has really played hard. The Bobrovsky thing has been really tough. Again, like, and I've said this before, and nobody has told me that I'm wrong on this yet, that he has not put a list of teams together on paper. He said it, but until it's written down, it's not a done deal.
This is Bobrovsky you're talking about now. Okay.
And so Bobrovsky, I don't think he's really that interested in going. Like, if somebody extends him to a number he's happy with, I think he'd be interested in being traded. Columbus.
Hang on, pause on that.
Yeah.
True or false, the contract would look something like the Carey Price deal.
I think that's what he wants.
That's what he wants.
But the problem is he hasn't been very good this year.
Yeah. Panarin has.
Panarin's been dynamite. You know, Bobrovsky has not been himself. Now, I wrote this week that they recently gave him another extension offer. The Blue Jackets did for Bobrovsky. Now, I will say, after I wrote it, some people disputed it, said it wasn't that recent. It was early in the year. And some people said, no, it was a bit later. So if something happened, I'm just not sure when. I know the agent went to go meet them last week in Phoenix.
Okay.
And I thought it might have happened then, but I don't know that for sure.
With Panarin switching agents,
yeah,
the same agent as Sergei Bobrovsky, Paul Theofanis, as you mentioned, and the speculation is it looks like they will go as a package.
Possibly.
Possibly as an offseason. That's advantage Bobrovsky considering the season.
That's the best thing that could have happened to him because sometimes those package deals do happen. Now, that would be as big as one that has ever happened before. I know people said that Parise and Suter were a package deal. I don't know how true that is. And plus, also, they had different agents. Parise is Wade Arnett, and Suter is Neil Shee.
Kariya Solani both had Don Baisley.
Yes, they did. But that was also a surprise and not as much money. Like, this one would be a hugely rich deal. Panarin, from what I understand, there's four teams. You can sort them out any way you want. That are really the biggest ones on his list are L.A., Islanders, Rangers, and Florida. And I had wondered if L.A. would take a shot on him at all because, you know, L.A. is a team. They don't want to have another year like this. Panarin's an instant change in where they're going. And I wondered if they would take their shot at him.
If you can get him just for money on July 1st, why do it now when you have to give up assets?
And you get him for the eighth year. And maybe the player wants that. You know, in some cases, that extra, you know, that extra $11 million might do you a lot of good.
Comes in handy, huh?
Yes, it does.
Tip money, huh?
You know, you can do a few things with that. You know, I got some rentals around the house, that extra $11 million, I think I can get some trimmings done. You know what? I would hold them and go for it. I really would. Unless you really got something. Like, look, they're in on Duchesne. I think they're in on Kevin Hayes. You know, if Nashville, for argument's sake, and I'm not saying this is happening, but if Nashville had to move out Kyle Turris to get Duchesne, I wonder if Columbus would do that. Would they be in on that? That's just me throwing that out there.
Carolina Hurricanes, they're close. They continue to inch closer and get false started. They are bumping their heads on that final playoff spot in the East. What happens with the Hurricanes?
Well, you know, Ferland, can you deal them to Pittsburgh? You're chasing them, and Pittsburgh was the team that really wanted them. You know, he'd been playing really well. I think you just take it down right to the end and see where you are. You keep the lines in the fire. And you sit there and you say, okay, if we have to pull this on Sunday, we do it. Mm-hmm. Now, I still think they could have something going with Toronto. I still think, you know, Ferland has his interest. I actually wondered if they would take a run at Eric Staal, bring him back. But they made a deal with Minnesota that looks pretty lopsided for them right now. I don't know if Minnesota would be that interested in doing that with them again.
Paul Fenton wants to pick up the phone when he sees
when he sees Don Waddell there. He like lets it go to voicemail and never returns it. I think the next few days determine where they are.
Philadelphia Flyers. They've made a move, picking up Cam Talbot. Anthony Stolarz goes the other way. But as you mentioned earlier, Wayne Simmonds still very much out there.
Yeah, the thing about Simmonds is I think his market has come to a halt. Every time I check in on the Simmonds market, I keep hearing, wait till the Ottawa guys, wait till the Panarin, wait till all that stuff. So I think San Jose would love to steal a guy like Wayne Simmonds. I think Boston would love to steal a guy like Wayne Simmonds. Would Philly deal with Pittsburgh? I don't know. I guarantee to you, Calgary too, I guarantee to you that there's some GM out there or two saying, I'm going to steal Wayne Simmonds.
New York Rangers. The obvious names, we've talked about Hayes, we've talked about Zuccarello, Adam McQuaid's name is out there as well. What happens with the Rangers come Monday?
Zuccarello, there wasn't a lot on him, and then he got really hot. He's been very hot since about the turn of the calendar to 2019. They will get something for him. Hayes, the Boston one is really interesting. I think Columbus is on him too. I know we've talked a lot about Duchesne, but I wonder if Nashville does not get Duchesne done for any reason. I wonder if they go for Hayes. And Winnipeg is still there. Like, there was a time I think the Rangers started to look at this and say, this is really slow. I think it's picking back up on Hayes. McQuaid, depth guy, maybe Tampa. You know, people have mentioned Toronto. I don't know that that's the kind of guy that Dubas would want to go for. But they seem pretty confident, I've heard, that they're going to get a decent pick for McQuaid. So we'll see. There must be interest out there.
New Jersey Devils.
Sell, 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 sell. It's like your the bad car salesman commercials of the 1970s.
You can see that for Marcus Johansson, but can you also see that for someone like Damon Severson?
Well, Severson was a guy who was on the market last year and they pulled him back. I think there's a lot that New Jersey will consider doing.
I'm with you. I think they are open for business.
I don't think they have a lot of sacred cows there. And I'll tell you this, like we all talk about Detroit offer sheet. I wonder about New Jersey. I think they could be the offer sheet team this summer.
Anything more on Hall?
No, just, you know, really quiet. Really quiet. Really quiet.
Offer sheet team, hey?
So I think New Jersey could be it.
Would that be in order to entice someone like Taylor Hall to sign an extension or in anticipation of no Taylor Hall being
no,
there?
No, I think
John
it
Tavares
would
route.
I think it would be, look, Taylor, this is what we're going to do. I'm watching them. They're clearing the decks, right? You can see it. Mm-hmm. You don't do that unless you have a plan. What's the other side of that plan? It's got to be Taylor Hall and someone. You're not convincing Taylor Hall to stay if it's just him.
Right.
So it's Taylor Hall and it's somebody else.
To the Western Conference. How are we doing on time? We're doing good.
We got the thumbs up.
All right. 32 minutes. Okay. We're looking at getting this one in somewhere around an hour so you can take it to lunch on the treadmill and be back at your desk in time for the rest of your work day. So, Central Division, we'll start with the Winnipeg Jets. We know about the off-season decisions they have to make. We've talked about those and we'll talk more about them as the weeks progress. But what do they do in advance of trade deadline? Elliot, they were chanting, "We want Stone" in Winnipeag over the weekend.
And he claimed he didn't hear it. Do you believe that?
I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night.
You know, Mark Stone's a pretty interesting guy. I'd love to sit down and have an extended conversation with that guy.
Once everything is done.
Once everything is
better,
done.
Better mood. Better
yeah, better mood once it's all done.
Yeah.
Winnipeg, to me, is a fascinating team. They have done no business this year. Kyle Connor, as far as I can tell, no talks. Line A, the agent, Mike Liut, said, we'll talk after the season. Every time I check on Tyler Myers, I hear no talks. Brandon Tanev, UFA, good player.
Yeah.
They got derided for picking him up from college, and he's going to do pretty well for himself in the offseason. No talks. And I'm looking at Stone. If they get Stone, I wonder if they think they're signing him or they're just renting him.
Hmm.
But I wonder if they take a run at him too. Anyway, Stone, to me, Winnipeg is the number one destination for him, and they can do it. Like, here's the thing. Winnipeg has made it very clear they'll trade their first rounder. Yep. What else are they willing to trade? Are they willing to trade Roslovic? So far, the answer's been no.
Sammy Niku?
So far, the answer's been no. Veselainen?
Mr. Veselainen.
Now, I wonder. I don't know that that is a yes or no. But there are a lot of teams that would breathe really hard after trading one of those guys. Winnipeg can do it and not breathe that hard because they got a lot of players, a lot of prospects, and a lot of players. There's a limit that they're willing to do, and I'm curious to know what that limit is.
I think they have a good enough team to win the cup right now. They don't make any moves. They still have.
They don't look right now. This whole Line A thing, it's weird. Like, so he has a game last week against San Jose where he misses the net, three times on the power play? His body English after he does it, he's just like looking up at the ceiling, and the next day he's off the first power play unit. Like, that's the first time I've really seen them discipline him in that way. I still think they're good enough to win.
This could change tonight. We're doing the Winnipeg-Colorado game.
Yeah.
But first 12 games, Patrick Laine, 3 goals.
Yeah.
Next 12, 18 goals. Last 35 games, 4 goals.
And Dustin Byfuglien, he gets hurt on December 29th. At that time, Laine, Connor, and Scheifele have 23 power play goals. When I checked last week, and this is when I wrote last week's blog, they'd gone from 23 from the start of the season to December 29th to from that date to last week, they had one. Roslovic had five in that time, and Little had two. Without Byfuglien, Wheeler is getting just destroyed on that power play. And that's where you get all your cookies, right? Like, that's where your confidence comes from. Like I said, they don't look right now, but I still believe they're pretty good. Winnipeg can do anything they want to do because they have the ability with their players to do that. The question is, how much do they want to do? How high are they willing to go?
And the question is this, can Nashville do the same, the Preds?
A lot, maybe not the same level, but, you know, they'll deal Toivonen, I think. And, you know, the first rounder, like I said, Duchesne for sure, Hayes probably if there's a fallback, willing to do extensions.
They have a gem in Dante Fabbro.
Well, the
I'm
one
sure
thing
many
about
many general managers would covet.
Well, the one thing about Fabbro is, are you at all worried about the Vasey thing there?
Right.
And at times they have been worried about that. Only they know if he's going to play there or not. But they have prospects. There's no question about it. They have picks. You know, the biggest thing, like I said earlier, is what's their cap room? What do they think they can do? And does somebody have to go out to bring someone in? You know, they're a year away from another big extension, and that's Roman Josi, and they know that one's going to cost them. My sense with David Poile and the Predators is they know what they want to do. They have a plan in place. That path is either trade for Duchesne and extend them, or trade for Hayes and see what happens. But I think they just have to figure out what all the collateral damage is to that.
Here's my question. If they're successful with the Matt Duchesne situation and Duchesne becomes a Pred, what becomes of Kyle Turris? Where's the spot?
Well, that's the thing. Like, is he become a third-line center, or are you looking to see if he'll find a spot somewhere else?
From the Preds, we go to the St. Louis Blues. Might be the best story in hockey today. Maybe the best story in hockey this season.
What are you doing if you're St. Louis?
You are looking at three UFAs that you're probably going to keep. And unlike seasons previous, where it's bye-bye David Backes, where it's bye-bye Stastny, where it's bye-bye Shattenkirk, if I'm general manager Doug Armstrong, I'm actually looking to add.
Well, I don't know if I would add. I wouldn't drop. I mean, I might add a smallish piece, but A, I don't know if I want to fool around with what I've got going right now. That's number one. I might want some depth on the blue line for Bouwmeester. I mean, he's really come on after he looked like he was done. He's really played well.
Only three expiring deals, him, Maroon, and Gunnarsson.
Yes, and I wouldn't screw around. I mean, the one thing is, like, Binnington's a phenomenal story. How good do they really think he is?
How long is he going to be a 935 save percentage goaltender?
In
a league
where it's
or whatever
907.
It is.
So, yeah. I mean, I think it's a great story. I'm really happy for the kid. I hope it continues. But at the end of the day, only they know the answer to this question. I mean, look, as we're sitting here today, right before the trade deadline, if we started the playoffs, would you pick them over in Nashville and Winnipeg?
Not a chance.
Okay.
Would you?
I don't know.
Come on.
They look better than those two teams right now.
They are better right now,
yeah.
But the playoff puck is heavier, as we all know. And it is harder to move the puck around in the playoffs when everything tightens up.
In theory, they've got a lot of guys who should be okay in the playoffs. I don't know if I would tinker with it too much. I certainly wouldn't go out and pay a huge price for
a rental.
Like, they were in big on Nylander, I think. And I don't think Nylander's getting traded, but that is the kind of move that I thought made sense for them.
Dallas Stars, this is a big year. There's a lot of pressure
yes.
on a lot of people in that organization, and dare I say jobs are at stake?
Yes, I think that's totally true. And the other thing, too, is they got to sell tickets for an outdoor game next year, the Winter Classic. So what you do in the regular season turns into what you do in the off season in terms of business. Now, I had heard they were really in on Panarin. Nothing I have heard since I wrote it and said it has changed my opinion on that. Apparently they've been following them around pretty closely, a couple times, two scouts a game, I think. So they're going to go get a score. And Jim Neal actually was quoted as saying they'll get a score. So whether it's Panarin or it's a Zuccarello or a Johansson, by the way, when he did New Jersey, like, there's a lot of teams apparently. I think in my notes the other day I mentioned Columbus, San Jose, Washington, Edmonton. The guys said you left out a bunch of teams. I think Dallas is there. So I
this on Marcus Johansson?
Yeah, okay. So I think Dallas is going to get a score.
I would imagine players, they would dangle. Listen, I don't know how. I would imagine the frustration level is sky high for players like Valeri Nichushkin.
Well, they've dangled Nichushkin this year. They've dangled Janmark this year.
Matthias Janmark, yeah.
And they also dangled, I know Montreal looked at Brett Ritchie, but the guys everybody wants from there, people want hints. I don't think they really want to do that. They've resisted requests for Jason Dickinson in the past. Somebody told me that Toronto looked at Polak but to bring him back, but someone else disputed that.
They do have a lot of defensemen.
They have a lot
there.
Of bodies around there. Like,
a lot
they
of D
they could
there.
Try things, and I think they will.
Minnesota Wild. Charlie Coyle goes for Ryan Donato and a fifth.
I'm surprised at this because there had been so many times that they had dangled Charlie Coyle over the last few years, even before Fenton got there. And, you know, Montreal was in on him. Tampa was in on him last year. Boston had been on him. And they always asked such a big price. And, you know, Ryan Donato, nothing against him as a player, but for, especially for a guy with term, I'm surprised that it ended up being Ryan Donato in a fifth rounder. Like, if you would have told a lot of people around the league that that's what Charlie Coyle would have gotten trade for, mm-hmm. a lot of people would never have believed it.
Why is that?
Because they always held out for a lot.
The value of Charlie Coyle around the league was perceived as high because why?
No. I mean, Minnesota's ask was always very high. Because Minnesota would always say to teams, Charlie Coyle is a really big, strong guy. He can play center. He can play wing. He can play up and down your lineup. He can do mm-hmm. a lot of things. You know, he never produced as well as everybody hoped, but everybody saw a role for him.
Now, many would say that was because he bounced positions. You buy that?
I just think that, you know, he had a couple hot streaks here and there. And the other thing that Minnesota always said was, it wasn't because he wasn't working at it. Like, he always showed up in great shape. He always did whatever they said that he had terrible self-confidence problems. Like, he would get down on himself hugely. But the reason I'm saying I'm surprised is because based on what they had asked for him, both Fletcher and Fenton, they were stunned to see what the final price was. They thought it would have been more.
Tough loss against the Anaheim Ducks. That's one thing. Now this trade, how do you think the market reacts to not just Charlie Coyle, because this is still under the umbrella of they moved Niederreiter for Rask, and now Charlie Coyle goes for Ryan Donato. So essentially, you traded Niederreiter and Coyle for Rask and Donato.
And the same thing I would say about for Niederreiter. He'd been available a couple of times here and there. And again, the ask was really high. I think that one of the things we're starting to learn about Minnesota, I think, Jeff, is that they've just decided they need to start again. And they will do what it takes to get younger and start again, even if they end up dealing some of these guys for a lot less than they've asked for in the past or people expected.
Jason Zucker?
I think he could very well go, too, if they find the right move.
Colorado Avalanche. Frege?
I don't think they're going to do much. You know, they were in town about a month ago, and I got the impression they're not going to do anything. Nothing that Joe Sakic has said changes my opinion on that. I heard his media conference the other night. They've got Kale McCarr coming. They got two lottery picks, assuming they don't make the playoffs. Theirs and Ottawa's.
Connor Timmins
now practicing with the team. I think they look at it like, yeah, last year was a bonus, and you don't want to go backwards, but we were building something, and that's it. We're just going to stay with what we got.
Small things, Sven Andrighetto.
You know, Andrighetto's been out there. So, you know, apparently they sent an email out about Andrighetto. I believe Calgary's looked at Nemeth. I heard Zadorov's name out there. And that,
it's been a while, though.
But it's kind of went, and it went away, and it went back out there, and now it might have gone away again. You know, when Cole got hurt, I think they went to him and said, you know, you're an important player for us right now, and he kind of liked that.
What about a player like Tyson Barrie for the Avs? His name has been out there seemingly forever. It's obviously never happened, but could it now?
It's been quiet for a while, right? Like, his name was out there for a long time and it went away. So let's bring it back because it's been too long. I just think that if they do Tyson Barrie, it's a hockey deal. Like, we're going to look at that trade and say, oh, okay, that makes sense because it's for a forward or something that they could use.
So you think if he goes, it's for a top six guy?
Yeah.
The all-time leading scorer amongst defensemen for the Colorado Avalanche, number one over John Michael Lyles, Tyson Barrie.
Yeah. You know what? That's a good story. I like that. I think that they will be patient.
That's Joe Sakic.
Yes.
And here's a biggie. It's a great story. And what a game against the Ottawa Senators on Monday. Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. So someone said to me last night, so I was up watching St. Louis-Toronto. That's a really good game. When that one's over, I flip it over to Nashville-Dallas, good ending, and then I go over to Arizona-Edmonton for the third period in the shootout. And someone texts me when that Arizona game's over, and he says, who are you betting on to make the playoffs in the West? And I was like...
Did you say Hawks?
I did. When I thought about it, Chicago was my pick. Look, Patrick Kane... I don't think he will be, but he could be the MVP this year. Mm-hmm. All those teams obviously have flaws. But if you're asking me to pick one of them, I'll take the team with Patrick Kane.
And Jonathan Toews. 35 goals of Alex DeBrincat.
Yes, like him especially, though. I'll take that team. I'll tell you, like, they're trying to move Anisimov. I'm not wading into the Seabrook thing again. I got enough out of that one this year. I just think that they're in a position... where they're going to go for it because there's a lot of pressure there to go for it. Like somebody said to me this week, he says, I hear they could add Panarin as a rental. I said, it doesn't make any sense to me as to why they would do that. So I don't think it's necessarily going to happen, but I think they're going to go for it. I think they're going to go for the playoffs.
On that, we will step away. Quick pause. We're back to talk about the Flames, the Sharks, the Knights, Coyotes, Canucks, Ducks, Oilers, and Kings. The Pacific up for grabs next on 31 Thoughts, the podcast. Thoughts is brought to you by the next generation GMC Sierra Denali, complete with the world's first six-function multi-pro tailgate. Net sliding around on the way to pond hockey, use the built-in load stop to help keep them in place. Loading what seems like half a team's worth of bags, the tailgate also turns into a step for easier access and has an inner gate that flips down for unloading all the gear you can fit. GMC Sierra Denali, we are professional grade. First off, welcome back. Second, thanks for sticking with us. We're getting through the Pacific starting now. Elliot Friedman, we will start with the Calgary Flames, who've been attached to a number of players, some of which, but not exclusive to, Stone, Zuccarello, McQuaid?
I don't know about McQuaid. McQuaid's a righty. I think they're looking for a lefty.
Okay.
Nemeth is a lefty that we mentioned earlier. I don't know about goaltending. Like, Tree Living has really done a good job of hiding his intentions on goaltending. Really good. Because I think he worries about the confidence of both Smith and Riddick.
Right.
And if he gets quoted or it gets out, he's looking for a goalie and he doesn't get it or whatever.
That sinks him?
That sinks him. Like, I wonder if he claims McKenna. And we'll know by the time that this podcast comes out. But a guy like Stolarz might have actually made sense for them too. But Stolarz is a better opportunity in Edmonton than he does in Calgary.
Right.
But I do think he'll consider swinging for the fences. He's got the pieces. He can do it. And you know what? They think they're pretty good. And they are pretty good.
They are.
So I could see him going for it.
And this is all under the umbrella of what's going to happen with James Neal.
Yes. And now Eric Francis, who generally knows what's going on there. I don't want to give him too much of a compliment. Also, he'll say only about 50% of the time really knows about what's going on out there. He said yesterday that Neal won't be away until the playoffs. Like, it's not one of those things. I don't care. I'm telling James Neal, you've got a hangnail.
Yeah.
You're coming back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then I'd load up. Hey, it helped the Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup in 2015. All is fair in love and war. And if I ran the Calgary Flames, I'd say, James, we'll see you on April the 10th.
Pull a, who did Edmonton used to always do this to? Rio Ruotsalainen.
They changed the Raver rules because of that. Ruotsalainen.
I think Minnesota did that with Ron Wilson as well. Tucked him away in like Italy and then brought him back for a playoff.
Yeah.
Okay, from the Calgary Flames to the San Jose Sharks. Man, they look good.
They looked really good. And, you know, they picked up Michael Haley on waivers, and that's a guy they know. Yeah, after their moves for Kane and for Carlson, they don't have the ability to go after the big fish. But they called Doug Wilson the dentist for a reason, right? So I think he's going to go after guys and try to see who he can steal. Maybe he gets a little bit desperate. But I think he's going to look for a winger. Simmons fits. Johansson fits. Somebody with that profile. One name I wrote about this week who fits maybe two, I don't know now, but was Eric Fair. You know, Eric Fair played for them in the playoffs last year. He played pretty well, and he's in Minnesota. I mean, you go with the guys you know sometimes, right? I think he'll do that kind of a move. I don't think they're going to have Carlson signed by the deadline, but, you know, they'll just go for it.
Do you have a gut, by the way, on Carlson?
I think it's a big ask. Yeah. I think it's a big, big ask.
This is a team that's locked into third, the Vegas Golden Knights. They will open on the road. Does the fact that they're opening on the road affect trade deadline at all?
Well, I think the one thing that they are going to do is because they are locked into third, they're going to play Malcolm Subban more.
Right.
Fleury leads the NHL in appearances. I think they're going to try to give him a rest. I wouldn't be surprised if we go through a stretch where Subban's playing two out of every three games just to get him going and get Fleury relaxing. But like I said, Chris Johnson came out of Vegas last week saying he doesn't think they're going to give up the price for a rental. I kind of agree. I think if they do anything, it'll be term. And I don't think they feel that they're as magical as they were last year, put it that way.
Tough again this year for the Arizona Coyotes. Goalie woes continue. Where are the Coyotes at? Trade deadline time.
I think it's amazing that they're even in the race. Like, what a job Rick Tocchet's doing. I think Coach of the Year is over. I think Barry Trotz going to win it going away. But, I mean, I can't even believe that this team is here.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they stay the course. If somebody, like, for example, if a Huberto was available, I could see Arizona trying to do something like that, like somebody with term. Same with Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going after rentals. They're going after guys with term.
Vancouver Canucks, next team up for grabs. They've made a move already, bringing in Ryan Spooner, sending Sam Gagner to the Edmonton Oilers. What happens with Jim Benning's team, trade deadline on the horizon?
Well, I think with Benning, it's quiet on Edler. So Jim Benning is at that BC Junior Hockey League All-Star Game, or that Canadian Junior Hockey League All-Star Game, and he goes on radio out there and he says...
Sportsnet 650.
You know, our only unrestricted player we have right now is Alex Edler. And, you know, I'm up and going to the prospect game in Red Deer tonight, and I get back to Vancouver tomorrow. But I want to try to sit down with him and his agent and just see where they're at and, you know, try to figure out going forward the strategy there. But outside of him, you know, we really don't have any other unrestricted players.
If it happened... It didn't happen right away. Like, they took their time getting going on this one. And I don't know if that's a strategy move or a power play move or what that is, but it is deathly quiet on Edler, which means it's either really good or it's really bad.
Could it not just be they don't know yet because they've seen a pattern of injury, and as much as they want to say we want what that healthy guy gives us?
Well, if the answer is they don't know, then you got to think at some point they go to him and say, is there anywhere you'll waive? Like, look at Detroit with Nyquist. As CJ said, they at least went to him and said, you know, you got a no trade clause, but will you go to any particular teams? If you're not sure, you've got to go to Edler and say, okay, we know you have control over this situation, but is there anywhere you're going to go?
Just as an aside, because you mentioned the Red Wings, I forgot to ask this previous. Any thoughts on Nicholas Cronwall?
I think he stays.
Stays.
I think he stays. And I think they sign him for one more year. You know, other than that, Vancouver, nothing else really stands out to me there.
Chris Tanev?
I don't think he goes now. You know, I heard they looked at Johansson. I think you got to worry about Sven Barchi's career. Like, he's had several concussions.
Yeah.
He's got a young family. I wonder where we're going here. And number one, you can never fault a guy for taking care of himself and his family.
Amen. Anaheim Ducks, you referenced them earlier, maybe the most interesting team at deadline.
They have pieces that can do a lot of things. Like, if they wanted to put Montour out there, for example, or Lindholm out there, for example, or Fowler, like, people love Fowler.
They love all three of those.
Yeah, guys. All three of those guys. Then you're making a move that the whole league is going to be interested in. And again, we mentioned his name a couple times, like Huberto. It's not just the teams in the race are going after him. Like, everybody is going after him. And if Bob Murray wants to do it, then he could put guys out there who everybody will be interested in. Put it this way. If Bob Murray lets it be known he's willing to move one of his D, his phone's going to be ringing off the hook or buzzing off the hook. What do you think Bob Murray's like ringtone is?
Bob Murray's ringtone?
Yeah.
Goes like this. He is all business.
Or it's something really goofy, like Pee Wee Herman's laugh or something like that.
I can't see Bob Murray having a goofy ringtone.
Unless someone else put it on his phone. He doesn't know how to get rid of it.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Have you ever texted with Bob Murray and had an emoji come back?
No.
So why would you think he would have a goofy ringtone?
I don't know. I'm just kind of laughing about the whole situation. He's the guy out there that could make the biggest surprise move.
The problem with all this is for Anaheim, as much as we want to see moves, the team's winning.
Yes, well,
and only a couple of points out of a playoff spot.
And it matters to them. Now, Silverberg, I heard that Silverberg's issue was he was trying to get term. I think they knew what the money was going to be for some time now.
Right.
I think he was trying to get, you know, 5 or 6 years, and I think the team was around 4 and maybe thinking about 5. I think that gets done now, and, you know, as we've talked about before, I think the biggest issue is they've got a tagging issue for next year's cap.
Yeah.
So until they sort that out, he might not be officially signed.
Edmonton Oilers, 2 more teams.
Like, Puljujarvi is their biggest one. He's really unhappy. I think he wants to be traded, but I think they've done a really good job of not doing the first thing that they want to do, or the first thing that anybody comes to them and says we'll do, because I think the offers have not been very good. So I think they'll try to be patient with Puljujarvi. I'm not convinced this is a player who wants to go to the American Hockey League.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the answer is here, but I'm assuming we'll find out in the next few days. As for the rest of them, I don't know if I see them adding anymore. Like, it doesn't make sense for them to add. But, like, they've had Reeder on the market. There's really not much there for them. Obviously, they've had Manning, Petrovic, I think even Benning on the market. I don't think there's much there for them. The Oilers are kind of stuck.
Until the offseason, then
until the offseason when they start to do some stuff.
Finish off with the Los Angeles Kings. You mentioned Panarin earlier on.
Well, I think LA is a market that might be number one on this list, but they may not do that now. I've mentioned Toffoli's name a couple of times. I've had people tell me the Kings are not really eager to do that. They made their one move. I think if they get a reason to do something else in terms of selling off, they'll do it. But I think a lot of their big decisions could come in the summer.
Team's calling on Alec Martinez.
You know, they've had Martinez out there for a long time. Everybody knows what they want. Now, maybe somebody steps up and pays the price, but I heard it was less important for them after Muzzin got traded.
And there they are, 31 teams in just over an hour, Emil, right around 1 hour. Okay, getting you back to work on time. Our trade deadline coverage on Sportsnet kicks off at 8 o'clock Eastern on Monday morning, 5 o'clock Pacific. We hope you get up early with us, and if you can't stay with us the whole day, at least check back a number of times and check out our social media accounts as well, because in a lot of ways, that occasionally is the first beast that gets fed. You want to characterize what you think this year's trade deadline might look like, Elliot, as opposed to previous deadlines?
I think
deadlines?
We get one whopper. Every year, I think there's always going to be one whopper that we don't see.
Is there going to be a Marian Hossa chase, the likes of which we saw so many years ago when Don Waddell and Marian Hossa were holed up in a hotel room waiting for the best offer and ended up being the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Yes, I think there'll be some of that.
There's going to be a 259 deal?
I think there'll be a 259 deal.
We shall stay tuned to find out. Thanks for joining us on our Trade Deadline Preview podcast, the second annual. We'll do it again next season as well. We'll take you out with this music, and it's really good. From his 2018 EP, New Agile Freedom, this is Sam Weber featuring Tara Lightfoot, the song I'll Let You Know. A big thanks, as always, to our producer, Emil Delich, and a big thanks to you for sticking with us, all 31 teams. You ready for the trade deadline now? Let's hope we have some, as Elliot says, whoppers come Monday. We'll talk to you next week.
Tail shade, northwest,
I'll
let you know. Soft skin,
I've been
too high
to think I
lost control. Oh, babe, I need to wonder if I come.